Lizzie. I'm ready to go. I'm wired up. I'm on fire. Listen, this is how it's going down here at Reign Embassy. You can no longer live in your own self. You have to find your identity in the kingdom. You have to be able to identify with the king that we serve. You have to find your identity in Christ. The issue is, we call ourselves being in Christ, yet we still identify in the natural lineage that we've been birthed into. See, you still are talking about all that you have to overcome or all that you've had to endure from your natural lineage, and you are not talking about or giving God the credit that he gave you breath in your lungs to live according to his will today. Today, I'm not talking about yesterday, because that's old news. I'm talking about what is and what is to come. So if you did not come forth yesterday, you have a new opportunity to come forth today. Oh, today, 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 today. Listen, Criminal Love in the Ecclesia Part 3. I'm moving down the line. If you don't know where I am, you're going to have to catch me on YouTube, Reign Embassy. I can't go backwards, guys, because I have too many people going forward with me. If you want to catch up, you're going to have to catch up on your own. With that being said, Criminal Love in the Ecclesia Part 3, free me, liberate me, and deliver me. We all need to be delivered. We all need to be free. We all need Jesus. You cannot do this without him. And the issue is, many of you have been, without acknowledging the King of all kings, even though you are trying to operate in his church. Come on here. You'll catch up with me. I know that you're well able. Listen, Jesus is our standard of love. This is a whole teaching. This is our third week on this teaching of Criminal Love in the Ecclesia. And here's the truth of the matter. God said you don't know what love is. Listen, you have to come to the understanding of what love is according to the King, not according to your own self. See, the issue is, we keep trying to stand on a false love. We keep trying to push a false love. Listen, Jesus Christ, when you come to the realization that being in Jesus Christ and according to his scripture, he was responsible with our lives. He didn't mishandle us. He said, oh, you know, Father, can you please take this cup from me? He didn't say, listen, I know I came here for an assignment, but listen, I don't have time for them today. Ain't nobody got time for that. You know how we do. Nobody got time for that. You know how we get down. We cast those who belong to Jesus away before Jesus does. Because you ain't got time. Because you don't have the mind of Christ. And you do not know what love is. Love is long-suffering, my friend. In the kingdom of Jesus Christ, love is long-suffering. Listen, Jesus is our standard of love, not humanity. Children of God, hear me today. Love is an eternal being, not an earthly deity. I'm going to get it out. Listen, children of God, hear me today. Love is an eternal being, excuse me, not an earthly deity. You got to come to that understanding. The moment that you come to that understanding is the moment that your life begins to change, because you don't realize that the world has deified love. The world has deified love. And you just hopped in. You just jumped on. You didn't know any better. But listen, you will not be able to say that you never knew if you're listening to this message. You will not be able to say that you misunderstood if you're listening to this message. You will not be able to get away with, matter of fact, whether you're listening to this message or not, none of us are getting off the hook, because his word is his word and his word is so. And he did not show love the way that the world is showing love. His love, listen, we're about to celebrate it, are we not? Because Resurrection Sunday is quickly upon us, is it not? Listen, you walk down that, read that in the good scripture, in the good book, read that good news and tell me, is that your choice? Is that what you call love? Like I asked last week, I said, but, or either the week before I asked, so who did you sacrifice your life for? I'm just asking, I have to ask that question. I have to pose that question because for some reason, we keep thinking that love is just accepting anything. Being passive, laying down, not standing up for it. No, Jesus stood up for us. He said, but my Father has a people and I'm coming to save them so they can come and hang out with us in eternity. No, that's standing up for us. That's what righteousness looks like. That's what love looks like. I'm just saying, we got this thing backwards. We are on part three. I think the first week I covered Judas, I think. Did I? Cain and Abel. Listen, I'm on a whole track. Actually, this goes back to January, but it all comes together. So I started off with Cain and Abel. Then I led you to the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, this week we're going to Luke 10, 25 through 7 through 37, because now we're going to deal with the priests and the Levites. Somebody turn to that, please. 10, 25 through 37.
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying,
Oh, wait a minute. I want you to hear who stood up.
A certain lawyer,
right? So we've been talking about righteous judgment and also don't judge me, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, come on.
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went up to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him.
Wait, hold on. Are you telling me a stranger picked up a stranger, took them to an inn, which is a house, a home, an abode, cared for them, their wound, didn't say, oh my God, he might have HIV, or he might have COVID, or he might, hold on, cared for him, poured oil on his wounds. What else?
And set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host.
Wait a minute. Then on top of all that he had already given, are you telling me that he then gave of his money to care for him? Okay, all right, come on. He didn't know him though, right? Okay, come on.
Take care of him and whatsoever.
Left instructions. I'm going to leave this money. Take care of him. Okay, go ahead.
And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.
Uh-oh. And if he has to spend any more money, if there's anything else that's needed to meet his needs, I will pay for it when I come back. Is that what we're reading here in scripture? Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that shewed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise.
Well, wait a minute. We having a whole assignment to go and do thou likewise, but we can't even do that because we too into our own self. See, that's what Jesus looks like. It doesn't necessarily look like, oh, let me give to this nonprofit. It looks like, wait a minute. I'm sitting right here next to my brother who is in need, and I'm so full of myself that I cannot even see that my brother is in need, and I'm not going to give of myself. I'm not going to give of my time. I'm not going to give of my talents. I am not going to give, listen, unless it benefits me. This is where we are today. We're only going to give of, we're not going to go that distance for anybody that we cannot get something from. And if we do go that distance, we're going to set ourselves up on high. We're going to make a whole announcement to the whole world what we've done for somebody. Listen, I got a whole child I done raised for 10 years. And here's the truth of the matter. You would never know it. Is it true? We don't walk around talking about what was. We're living in what is and what is to come. You'll catch it one day. You'll catch it one day. I haven't made that a whole ministry and puffed myself up to look good. We only have that conversation based on a necessity, not as an entitlement. Yeah. Oh, see, I can only preach and teach what I live. I know this from firsthand. See, listen, the priest and the Levite, according to Luke, the Good Samaritan, in this well-known parable, a man is left beaten and abandoned by the roadside. A priest and later a Levite pass by on the other side, choosing not to stop and help. Is that you? Is it you? Their failure to show mercy and compassion and dedication to Jesus the Christ first is the direct contrast to the radical offensive love that compels us to risk inconvenience, personal safety, and self-interest to help a neighbor. Come on here. I have to deal with the things that are keeping you out of Jesus Christ. Because, listen, your works is not what's going to get you in. It is your mind of Christ that's going to get you in. And if you don't have the mind of Christ, you're not entering in. See, we're preaching a false gospel out here. We're under the false gospel, but I'm going to preach the same gospel as Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in him. Oh, come on here. Their indifference demonstrates how legalistic and ritualistic adherence can sometimes blind us to the immediate need of Jesus the Christ. Listen, this walk is all about Jesus Christ. You can make it about man if you want to, but I'm telling you, Jesus the Christ needed to help that man laying on the side of the road. You don't understand the gospel. It wasn't about the man. It was about Jesus showing himself strong in the earth. In those who could walk like him, those who could think like him, those who could act like him, those who could produce like, listen, that's a production according to the mind of Christ. The problem with the body is that it does not know what love is. And because it doesn't know what love is, it's not alive. If you don't believe me, I'm going to take you to the scripture that lets us know. Actually, we just read it. Somebody read for me Luke 10, 25 through 28. Come on, let's get with this.
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.
What? Thou hast answered right. And what?
Thou shalt live.
Before thou shalt live, he said, this do. What are you doing? Your question to yourself has to be, what am I doing? When Jesus himself already has disclosed to his body how to gain life. And yet you want to deny the fact that God is showing you up as having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. And therefore, listen, you are dead and not alive. Because right after that, he said, and thou shall live. Your living is connected to being as he is. Your living is not connected to your mental capacity to read the scripture and not be. The life of Jesus constantly challenges the religious mind that dares to claim that it is in Christ just because it has a form of godliness. Listen, the outward religiosity paired with the heart of stone is the demarcation of a life unsurrendered. What are we doing? The religious rigid mind cannot lead. I need you to write this down and remind yourself, because we're all called to lead something, whether it's just our family, whether it's our children, whether it's at our job. It does not matter. If you are saying that you are in Christ Jesus, you are already called to be a leader, because we are the leaders of this world. If you only understood what the government on his shoulder meant in the job that it left for you. So the religious, rigid mind cannot lead. It cannot lead according to the mind of Christ. Now, I'm going to give you three examples and we're going to get up out of here. Because this message is so heavy that, listen, if I give you too much, look, I need you to learn. I need you to be able to digest this. Somebody, no, you don't have to go, because we just read it. 10:25, Luke 10:25-37. Responding immediately to Jesus' need. That's what that scripture is depicting. It's depicting, listen, those who can hear from Christ, their ability to respond to Christ immediately. Immediately. Not let me pray on it. Not let me think this. That's religiosity. You're religious. And you've been raised in religion. And you do not have the spirit of the living God. Because the spirit of the living God responds to him. Just like those creatures in Ezekiel. Which is why you have to have a new heart. Because that heart responds. It turns. Wherever God goes, wherever the spirit of the living true God goes, it's there. It's immediacy. It's not 2-3 weeks behind. It's not off schedule. It's always on schedule. The parable of the Good Samaritan illustrates a Samaritan stopping to help a beaten man on the roadside. Listen, while the religious leaders passed by, burdened by procedures. You know, I got to get the Bible study. Well, I got to open up the church. Here, your kid, listen. Your kid is traumatized at school. and you can't take off from your religious duties in an institution to care for your child. Because let me tell you something. God entrusted you with that soul. That's your first responsibility. God entrusted you with that soul that he allowed you to bring into this world. He didn't trust those religious leaders with that soul. He trusted you. Oh, I'm teaching real good today. Because half of these families are jacked up and their children have been molested because they turned their children over to these leaders. Half of these children's minds are jacked up because you laid them in the hands of these religious leaders and you never, ever, ever did an up-close check under the hood and made sure that they had a sound mind. Try mine. Never. My children are my responsibility. God gave me the mind of Christ to lead them where they need to go, not these religious leaders. While these religious leaders passed by, burdened by procedures, Jesus uses this parable to model immediate, compassionate action that puts kingdom demonstration and governance above rigid observations. Hear me and hear me well. Your rigid observations are keeping you from King Jesus. Your rigid observations are keeping you from the mind of Christ, which is keeping you out of Christ, by the way, which is keeping you dead. But we are supposed to live and not die. Some of you are catching Monday, I guess. But we are supposed to live and not die. Eternal righteous judgment rather than legalistic rules. Listen, somebody get with John 8, 1 through 11. Come on. And you see the other one. Somebody pull up Mark 1, 40 through 20, 42.
Okay, John 8, 1 through 11. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when he had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not.
Hold on. The first thing is these fools didn't even realize that Jesus was using a natural finger to write in stone. This is the first thing. See, they should have shut their mouths right then and there. But when you are full of your own mind, you can't even think logically. You can't even accept what's before you because you are not thinking with the mind of Christ. You're thinking with your mind that's born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And so it will make a truth a false. And take a false and make it truth. Come on, keep going.
So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself...
Wait a minute. Before we get there, first of all, is that your mindset? Because I know many of you are always judging other people and you haven't rid yourself of the same sin that you're judging other people by. I mean, let's get real. You can't even live above the standard that you're trying to uphold. I talked about that last week, right? With them dead bones inside of that nice, clean, white tomb. We have to deal with the scripture straight up and down and stop watering it down for us to not have understanding. See, this right here, Jesus made, he did a whole move. He shook them. He totally shook them because they was trying to get him caught up. And he was like, I'm not going to get caught up because I'm the righteous. I am the kingdom of heaven. I am eternity sitting right here. Do you not know who I am? I have the government of eternity on my shoulders. Do you not know what I stand for? He was like, let me show you what I stand for. I stand for just judgment. Because first of all, we're wrong because once again, we only got one party to a whole crime. That was the offense from the beginning to the kingdom. And we don't even deal with that as citizens. We don't deal with the first offense. Somebody come to us talking about somebody else. You don't stop them and say, hold up. Wait a minute, where's your brother that you're talking about? Before we get into this, let all parties be here. See, we don't do that in the body of Christ. Because at the beginning and the end of the day, you are already shaped in sin and formed in iniquity. Because you don't like them anyway. You jealous of them anyway. So you happy that somebody brought a charge against them. That's why you don't even want to get to the root of it. That's why you don't want both parties there. Because you never intended on being just. You never intended on being righteous. I'm stepping all over toes. Share, 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 and share again. Because I can teach this thing in my sleep. Because I've been in some of these churches. And you're legalistic and unjust. And that's the bottom line. If you don't like that I said it, come see me. But you won't. Because I will deal with you righteously. With that being said, keep going.
When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?
Hold on. Listen, the great defender showed up. Y'all better listen to this. But he was like, what? Look around. Where's your accusers? Yeah, they had to go. They had to flee. They had to back up off the scene. Why? Because the great defender showed up on your behalf. Now go and sin no more. Go ahead, finish the scripture.
She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
When the great defender is on your side, listen to me. He gives you grace. He gives you mercy to grow. But when these little priests and Levites and Sadducees and false leaders, they always condemning you. They always sending you to hell. They don't give you the grace to grow and become as he is. And they've forgotten that they themselves had to grow in their own stature and wisdom. See, I love hard because Jesus loved me hard. I was a hard case. I wasn't the easiest case. But you know what? He thought I was worth the wait.
Yes.
So why would I think you're not worth the wait? Why would I suddenly just throw you away? Because you ain't got it together. As if I got it together all the time. I fight for my salvation. Scripture says, work out your soul salvation. That means you're always working out your soul salvation. You're not arriving until you get into eternity. So these fake and phony leaders, pious, with their false representation of government. Look, I could put on a jacket too. I could pull out some thesaurus and pull out a whole bunch of big words, replace them little words, because that's all they're doing. Studying to sound intelligent, but they don't have the spirit of the true and living God. They're harsh. They have no compassion. They have no mercy. And they are not there to serve you. Come on here. Being a leader anywhere in the world means you are in a servicing position. You better wake up, which is why you shouldn't be quick to want to lead, because it's a lot of responsibility that you have to carry and be responsible for. Because when it all goes down, you're the one that's judged. When it don't meet the mark, you're the one that's questioned. Well, wait a minute. Is it not true? I think a certain leader under the title of a prophet lost their vision because they did not govern and steward their children correctly. Is it true?
Yes.
Is it true? Yes. Read your Bible. Read your scripture. I read mine. I'm trying to get you to understand. You got to read the scripture and know it for yourself. It has to become applicable. So all of you, anyway, I'm not going to go here. Let me just do this real quick. Eternal righteous judgment rather than legalistic rules. When the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, Jesus challenges the legalistic mindset by saying, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." You can set yourself free if you live like that. Listen, deliverance is in your wheelhouse. It's in your house. You can move that all around for yourself, because half of the time you unrighteously judging even yourself. You're sending yourself to hell, and God has not condemned you. God is sitting there like, hey, your time is not up. I put breath in your lungs. Let's go at it again. Let's take off the head of your enemy. Listen, let's head this thing up. Listen, depression is not your portion. Listen. If you only understood who you are and the king that you serve and what breath in your lungs affords you. Listen, those leaders, instead of rigidly enforcing the law, Jesus offers grace to change. Go and sin no more. He emphasizes that the spirit of eternal righteous judgment encapsulated in mercy is more important than strict legal inherent. Excuse me, that kills the king's offsprings before they can even know him as a merciful healer. Adhering to legalism kills the king's offspring. Y'all need to make that go right. Y'all need to send that out into the world. Y'all need to let the world know that the king is coming. The king is coming for his kids. He's cleaning up his ecclesia. The king is coming. Listen, I'm not saying that the king is not here. He's already here. But he's coming for those who belong to him. Why? Because you're under some false doctrines and you're going to hell. And that is not what he wants for you. Who has Mark 1, 40 through 42? Let's hit it.
And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed.
Listen, I want y'all to understand this. Get this real quick. We are called to walk in eternal dominance over ritual purity. Listen to me. Eternal dominance over ritual purity. Let me hurry up and get to church. Let me hurry up and sing this song. Let me hurry up and get to the listen. You may be doing that. And you may even be doing it out of the right spirit. You might have purity towards that theology or ritual or church doctrine. You may have a true love towards that church. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, when you don't have the spirit of the living God, you cannot operate in eternal dominance over these things. Rules and regulations have to rule you instead of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's like when you first start out on that diet, you gotta go with the 30-day plan. You gotta read, you know, today I got to eat a half of a banana and not the chips. I gotta have the spin. You got to. But at some point in this walk, the Holy Ghost should be able to lead you. Remember? But it's never going to be able to lead you if you have a heart of stone. It will never be able to lead you if you don't have a heart of flesh. Listen, the priests and the Levites avoided the injured man to maintain ceremonial purity, to maintain their duties, to maintain their position, to maintain their title. Jesus reaches out despite the risk of contamination, showing that eternal spiritual dominance encompassed with mercy and compassion outweighs ritual concerns. I'm talking to you today because at the beginning and the end of the day, you don't know what love is. Yet, we this all day, but we're not this all day. Mm-hmm. See, we're this all day, but we're not this all day. Outward showing of love, missing the inward working of what true love is, according to Jesus Christ. The outward religiosity paired with the heart of stone is the demarcation of a life unsurrendered. Each of the examples we just went through underscore how Jesus' actions break away from a rigid, ruled bound, Holy Spiritless mindset. I said a lot right there, and I said a lot for a reason. I'm not breaking it up. I'm going to say it again. Jesus' actions break away from a rigid, rule-bound, Holy Spiritless mindset. Having the mind of Christ involves us being renewed in the spirit of our mind, where the active and actionable love of Christ judges every situation righteously, not emotionally. Those are emotional acts. I gotta be there. Those are emotional acts driven by your wants, by your desires, by what you're being fed, by what you're getting from it. Remember I said earlier, the fact that you are not selfless and you don't have a motive connected to anything is what makes you like Christ. Yeah. His only motive was the motive of his Father, and that is to see his children, his seed, return back to him. See, come on here. It even bypasses Jesus. But you wouldn't know that because you don't read your scripture to learn the life of Jesus Christ. It was even beyond Jesus. It was all about the Father. It was all about the Father's will being done. I do nothing I do not see my Father do. I'm about to knock the stuff off the wall. It be going down over here. Y'all should come visit sometime. Listen. Having the mind of Christ involves being renewed in the spirit of your mind, where the active and actionable love of Christ judges every situation righteously, not emotionally, adhering to the command found in Matthew. We read it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's that new heart. The old heart can't love the Lord thy God. The old heart is at enmity with the Lord thy God. With all thy soul. Listen, you can't work out your soul salvation without loving the Lord thy God. And with all thy mind. Without a renewed mind, without the spirit of the true and living God, these things can't work together. And then he lets us know, this is the first and the great commandment. What are you doing? What are you doing in saying that you are in Christ? If your life is not hidden in this scripture right here, I'm letting you know you're not in Christ and you're not going to heaven. You're not getting in. Then he hits us with the what? And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, I just taught you, because listen, he stopped. He inconvenienced himself. He didn't get anything from helping his brother. He even got a new tab. He even got some money subtracted from his pocket by stopping and helping. He even had a new responsibility by stopping and helping. He put himself on the hook. He said, listen, and if he needs anything else, when I come back this way, put it on me. I got him. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you made yourself available to do something that you got nothing from? When was the last time you made a promise to somebody to make their life easier, better, more comfortable? This command is kingly inclusive. See, y'all like to talk about this inclusiveness, but you ain't including a word in your life. You're not including the scripture in your life, because this is inclusive. He included a stranger. Y'all read it. You put it together. You're wise. You're smart. You're intelligent. Use your mind. Ask for the mind of Christ so that you can process his scripture like he does. Because that's the problem. You're processing his scripture as if he's a man. But he said, I'm not a man that I, what?
Should lie.
Oh, okay. This command is kingdomly inclusive and radically actionable, compassionate and merciful, contrasting the rigid, ritualistic, and ceremonial mind of religion that fails to live out God's true, transformative, offensive love, which is just and responsible. Wait till we get to this offensive love. That's what's coming up after this. But first, I had to break this down, but I keep dropping that nugget, because when I get to it, I want your mind to go, whoa. Not, what she mean by that? No, I want you to be right there with me. Listen, I'm going to remind you again that our identity in Christ is not static, but it demands transformation. It demands renewal, and it demands a new heart. You cannot be still in Jesus Christ. You cannot remain the same in Jesus Christ. You must be willing to fight for your new mind. You must be willing to have surgery on that old heart and receive a heart of flesh. Listen, you must be willing to lay your will down and pick up his. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means you got a lot of studying to do. So when he says study to show yourself approved, he didn't say study to be a Pharisee and a scribe. When he said study to show thyself approved, that meant that you could apply the word and live it. The approval is your ability to produce from it, not to regurgitate it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, listen, body of Christ, I want you to behold. Behold, children of God, behold. All things are become new. All things are become new. For the word itself is an open show of the proud. And scripture tells us that God himself resists the proud. This scripture, the entire scripture, is showing the life of the proud. So that if you are in Christ Jesus, you would come to the realization that you want to live and not die. If you only knew what love is. We must live out the call to be as Jesus Christ in this world through living out the spiritual profoundness of being God's children. Listen, that's a spiritual profoundness. You have to be acquainted with the Holy Ghost. You have to build relationship with the Holy Ghost. You have to. You cannot do this without the Holy Ghost. You're so busy sticking to your mother. You're so busy sticking to your father. You're so busy sticking to your pastor that you forgot that you're supposed to stick close to the Holy Ghost. Only the children of God seek to obtain and become a stronghold of purity, of sacrificial kingly love, of righteous judgment, of holiness, of the government of eternity on earth. Only. Because if you're not the king's offspring, those things have no interest to you. Those things can't speak to you. Purity, it doesn't speak to you. Sacrificial kingly love, it doesn't speak to you. Righteous judgment, it can't speak to you. Holiness, can't hear it. And you'll never get to eternity's government. It's impossible. Not only can you not hear it, you can't see it, you don't understand it, and you don't see its purpose. Which is why half of this false love doctrine is leading the whole body to hell. Because it's not the standard of Jesus Christ. It's not the government of Jesus Christ that he came to earth with on his shoulder. Because if that was the case, none of these examples would be in scripture. He constantly delivered and set people free as an example to show his father strong through him on earth and how we must live if we're going to be with him. Replay this and you'll get it. Only the children of God can reject pride. I need you to understand that only the children of God can reject pride. Only the children of God can lay themselves down. Only the children of God put God first. Only the children of God can reject religion, because religion seeks to undermine their relationship with Jesus Christ. And they want a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, everything else has to go. Everything else has to go. Because it goes from being an unconscious battle to a very conscious battle. And then you start acting like Paul, like, wait a minute, God, I really wanted to do right. But some kind of way I ended up wrong. And then God can say, well, because you thought like this, but this is how I think. Then you can do these kind of contrasting behaviors and check yourself, realign yourself. Only the children of God can reject pride and religion that seeks to undermine their relationship with Jesus the Christ, who is our chief cornerstone and the ultimate judge. You can walk around saying, don't judge me. Don't worry about it, because Jesus is. He's going to judge each and every one of us. Nobody's getting past that gatekeeper. You may get past the gatekeepers on this earth, but you're not getting past the gatekeeper of eternity. And that's a for sure, for certain. These contrasts not only reveal shortcomings, but also highlight the culture of those who do not follow the life of Jesus Christ. Why do you think they always want you to lean to culture? It's the reason why I use that word. It's a reason. Even this thing, this whole what did they do? Walk out on the businesses. Don't shop at Walmart. Don't shop. The boycott. That's a cultural thing. That's not an eternal thing. And I'm utterly offended to get inboxed by people who claim that they're leaders in Jesus Christ about following Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton? You're going to follow him straight to hell. I will never follow Al Sharpton. They're laughing. It's the truth. Anyhow, Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton don't care about you. Al Sharpton cares about his ka-ching, ka-ching. Al Sharpton only shows up on the scene if he's getting paid. Al Sharpton will do nothing for free. And ask me how I know. I know firsthand. So don't come for me, because I don't talk about things I don't know about. You going to follow Al Sharpton? Think on that. That's like one of those things you got to hit. What have you done for me lately? He's done nothing for you. Trust me. Everything that he does is a motive for himself. Don't ever send me anything to follow him. Because here's the other side of that whole thing. There are people who worked hard to get their businesses inside of those businesses. So now we're supposed to bankrupt our own business leaders within the different communities that look like us because of Al Sharpton's mind? He doesn't have the mind of Christ. He has the mind of culture. Jesus calls us to live in a kingdom ruled by eternal love. Jesus, let me go back up. This contrast not only reveals shortcomings, but also highlights the culture of those who do not follow the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus calls us to live in a kingdom ruled, listen, by eternal love. Not earthly. We live in a kingdom ruled by eternal love. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. Because you know what? Jesus kept that which was entrusted in his hands by his Father. Adam jacked that up. But Jesus didn't. And if Jesus is the second Adam to correct what the first Adam jacked up, then why are we still lost in the sauce? Why are we still not comprehending what actionable love looks like? Jesus calls us to live in a kingdom ruled by eternal love that is encapsulated by truth, it's encapsulated by righteousness, and it's encapsulated by holiness. I'll say it again. It's encapsulated by truth. That mandate was not rooted in truth. You don't boycott other people that's been working hard because you have a personal agenda. Encapsulated in righteousness, it's nothing righteous about that. It's other ways to handle these things. And encapsulated by holiness, he's not holy. He's not holy. So y'all better watch who you're following. Because Jesus was holy. And those who represent Jesus are holy. You need to wonder, first of all, Reverend. Okay. But y'all need to wonder, that's been dropped a long time ago, has it not? He doesn't go by Reverend Al Sharpton. When was the last time he preached the gospel? Did he ever preach the gospel? I don't know. Nevertheless, when your life is found in Jesus, you are marked by humility, responsibility to Jesus Christ, responsibility to his kingdom, genuine service to him, genuine service to his citizenry. Okay, that boycott is not serving Jesus Christ at all. Why are you Christians involved in that? It doesn't serve his citizenry. Come on here. I'm running this down because I need you to understand the problem that Jesus is having with those who are claiming to be his. When your life is found in Jesus, you are marked by humility, responsibility to Jesus Christ, responsibility to his kingdom, responsibility to genuine service to him, responsibility to genuine service to his citizenry, and protecting, and focusing on eternal matters rather than human rituals. You don't know what love is. If you did, you could not be caught up in the things of this world. With that being said, I thank you for joining me today. We're going to go through 1 John 4:15 through 18 because I promise you, listen, I build living epistles, and by the end of this thing, y'all going to come out not only as pure gold, but you're going to come out as a living epistle that God can use. It is no reason to say that you're in Jesus Christ if you don't want to be saved. It is no reason if you don't want to be transformed, if you don't want to look like him, if you don't want to live like him, this is not for you. So it's no good to be lukewarm because he said he'll spew you out. Go on and be cold. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God has towards us. Do you believe the love that God has towards you? Do you know the love that God has towards you? God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God. I just taught today what love is, and I also taught what love isn't. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Come on here. It's a two-way street. I told you, you in a relationship with the King of all kings. Listen, that's a joyous thing to be in. But when you're in relationship with your own love, it could be very toxic. Toxic for your mind. Toxic for your soul, toxic for your being, toxic for your spirit. Come on here. Herein is our love made perfect. Our love is made perfect. Our love is made perfect. What? Through his grace, through his mercy, our love is made perfect. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because what? As he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. Come on here. You no longer have to be ritualistic. You no longer have to stick to this rigid mindset because you're in love. He that fear is not made perfect in love. And the best thing for you to ever do and understand is that we love Jesus. Because Jesus first loved us. The day that you understand that it's Jesus' love that saved us. That it's Jesus who loves us, not man. The day that you understand that you can grab a hold of that love and become as he is the day that you, my friend, are ready to truly become a child of Christ. With that being said, I'm Apostle Johnita Collins. I am signing off. I pray that this message blesses you. I know that it's heavy. I know that it's weighty, but listen, this is what we need, because guess what? Sin is full grown and the judge is here. God bless.